I frowned and thought back over it. Huh, I said. You're right. Who was driving that car that ran into me? Exactly, he said. More mysteries. Thought you were a professional investigator, Haas, he teased. For you, this should be fun. Yeah, fun. Fun, fun, fun. I'm having fun already. He smiled. It isn't good news that Winter isn't going to stand with us against the Reds, but it could have been worse, and we learned something valuable. I grunted, the traitor to the council. Someone had to tell the Reds where Lucio's boot camp was hidden. Yes, he said, and leaned forward. And outside of Lucio, only four people knew. I arched my brows at him. Morgan? That's one, he agreed. Injun Joe, the Merlin, and Ancient Maya were the only others. I whistled slowly. Heavy hitters. But knock Morgan off your list. He didn't do it. Ebenezer arched his brows. No. I shook my head. Guy is a dick, I said, but he's on the level. We shouldn't tell him, but he's no traitor. Ebenezer frowned for a moment and then nodded slowly. Very well, then. I'll vouch for Injun Joe. So, what comes next? I asked him. Watching them, he said, waiting. Not letting on that we know. We won't get more than one chance to take them off guard. When we do move, we gotta make it hurt. I frowned at my now empty bottle and nodded. We wait. Lie in the weeds. Keep a low profile. Got it. Haas, my old teacher said quietly. What you did for that girl. Yeah, I said, waving a hand. Stupid. The Merlin is going to be royally pissed at me. He'll probably start insisting I go on shooting missions now, in hopes someone will take me out and remove a thorn in his side. True, Ebenezer said. But what I meant to say was that what you did was damn brave. From what I hear, you were ready to take on everyone there if you had to. Wouldn't have lasted long. No. But then that wasn't the point. He rose a little stiffly and said, I'm proud of you, boy. Something inside me melted. You know, I said, you always told me you weren't at my trial, that the council saddled you with me because you skipped out. I think that isn't true. He grunted. It was all in Latin, which I didn't understand then, and I had that hood over my head so I couldn't see anyone. But someone had to have defended me, the way I did Molly. Could be, he rolled one shoulder in a shrug. I'm getting old, Haas. I forget things. Ah, I said. You know, I've missed a meal or three lately, and I know this little joint that's got the best spaghetti in town. Ebenezer froze in place like a man walking on ice who suddenly hears cracking sounds. Oh, he asked, tone careful. They got this great bread that goes with it, too, and it's right by the campus. So, cute waitresses. Sounds promising, Ebenezer said. Makes me feel a mite hungry hearing about it. Absolutely, I said. Let me get my shoes. If we hurry, we can get there before the evening rush. We looked at each other for a long moment, and my old teacher bowed his head to me. It conveyed a lot of things. Apology, gratitude, happiness, forgiveness, affection, pride. You want me to drive us? He asked. I bowed my head in reply. I'd like that, sir. This is James Marsters. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Proven Guilty by Jim Butcher. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse, produced by David Rapkin, and directed by Bob Walter. Proven Guilty is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group, Inc., Copyright 2009. All rights reserved. The book, Proven Guilty, is available wherever rock books are sold.